Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
I'm sure you've heard people call a well-versatile person the jack of all trades, but I believe for Jack to truly be a master of all trades, Jack needs to teach. Transference of information does not only signify a sign of growth for the student, but is also a sign of completion and mastery for the teacher. My guest today does not only excel in his field of clinical research, but also transfers knowledge through coaching and training. Today I have Diederik van der Kerk, a senior director for MMS Holdings Inc. He serves on the global leadership team and founded the South African operations in 2016. He also is an internationally certified executive business coach and training facilitator, winning multiple awards at Action Coach Business Coaching International during his six-year tenure. This, ladies and gentlemen, is an extraordinary man. Please help me welcome Diederik van der Kerk. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very, very, very well. So today I have a few questions for you. We're speaking now virtually. I'm very happy that you got time to speak to us in your busy schedule. We highly appreciate this.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be able to share.
It's a privilege on both sides. So I firstly want to know, before we get into the nitty-gritties of the conversation, please take us through your journey of how you started to get to where you are, where you're the senior director. So your schooling, the course that you did, the decisions you made to get you where you are, and also branching off into training and coaching. How did that happen? So please just take us through that journey.
Right. So I think it's important for me to perhaps start by saying that I've always believed in purposeful living. The fact that, you know, we all have different sets of beliefs, right? But certainly for me, it's a belief that we were planned to achieve certain things, right? Now, driven by that belief, I wanted to work in science. You know, I've always loved science, I've always wanted to work in medical science. So I did a Bachelor of Science degree when I finished matric, focusing on medical subjects. Then I did my honors degree in pharmacology. As I did my degree, it became clear that pharmacology was a field that I really loved. I was fortunate in that. Shortly after I finished my honors degree, I got a position in the clinical research space. And I guess I knew from the days when I was studying pharmacology that this was what I wanted to do. For me, it was all about the opportunity to be able to impact people's lives, to impact millions of people's lives through science, right? And through, making a difference and helping people through the science. And that really was aligned with what I believe my purpose to be. I think a lot of us want to help people, and certainly it felt as though that was what I was going to be able to do. So yeah, pursued a career in that space, fortunately, unfortunately, I guess initially, fortunately, there's a lot of travel involved at times in our industry. When I wanted to start looking at beginning a family, though, in 2010, 2011, that became a bit of an issue, right? I didn't want to travel as much anymore. So I guess there was a bit of necessity as well that sort of drove this. But again, I went back to my purpose and I looked at, right, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that I love? And I sort of ventured into business coaching based on that. I qualified myself as a business coach in the US in 2014 through Action Coach. And obviously grew in that space and saw the possibilities for application. And I'm fortunate that eventually was able to sort of bring the two together, as I grew my career in clinical research, and as I had the opportunity to find to start MMS in South Africa and manage people, that obviously sort of lent itself towards using the coaching knowledge that I had. So yeah, it's been a long journey, and it's tough to sum it up shortly, but it's been a combination of following my academic dream, I guess, and the space that I love to work in, but also looking at, you know, what my skills are, what I thought I was good at, and what I enjoyed doing. And just continued moving forward, qualifying myself and got me to where I am today.
It sounds like a very fruitful journey and also a lot of innovation, a lot of changing yourself to suit what you believe is best for you. And also being able to put all your skills into big areas. And I want to know, when you finally had everything down into a niche, you're like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. What was that moment for you? Like, what was the day that you remember saying, wow, I love my job, this is exciting, and I was meant to do this? Please tell us a little bit about that moment.
So, to be honest, I think I've probably had two of those moments. And I guess that makes me fortunate as well. When I was pretty young, and when I just completed my honors degree, and I started learning more about this, the clinical research space, the space where, right, or the possibility that I could get involved with, you know, international pharmaceutical work, help develop new drugs and get them to market. So I think there was a realization around that time that, wow, if ever there's a possibility for me to do this, you know, I want to do this. And this is going to really, you know, hit the spot in terms of what I love doing. Then, but probably later on, as I sort of progressed in my career journey, and I learned more about the value of people and working with people, there was probably a moment, and this was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, where I had built the MMS operations for South Africa and realized that, you know, I through building a business and through doing what I love in clinical research, I'd helped create 80 jobs.
Can you please tell us about just the challenges you encountered on your journey when expanding into bringing MMS into South Africa and also maybe going into coaching?
I think let me start with, you know, the actual business, which really followed the coaching. But when I started the business in South Africa, and especially in our industry, I think I realized early on that my main challenge was going to be to find the right people and to find, well-suited and well-qualified people who are a good fit to what it is that I want the business to achieve. You know, the funny enough, the administration portion was not that tough. In having said that, you know, I should add that I've got a great accountant in Bloemfontein. You know, had a lot of support from them in terms of setting up the company, getting all the tax stuff sorted out. So I'm just a big believer to this day that shouldn't be a hurdle, and sometimes, unfortunately, it is for smaller businesses. But yeah, I think the recruiting portion initially was probably the toughest. Finding the right people, making sure that when I found the right people in a very competitive market where a lot of companies compete for the same skill, that, you know, I build a working environment in the organization where employees and where team members can be happy, where they can feel that they belong, where they can feel that they can grow. Because, you know, it was important for me to obviously firstly get the right people, but also retain them. If I was going to build a successful service-based business, because right, my main capital is the human capital, right? That's what I'm offering clients. It's not like goods that you bring in, that you can buy in and then sell on again, right? You're selling people's knowledge, people's skills, you're selling relationships. So I had to really focus on that. And I think that was the tough bit. But yeah, you know, through a bit of resilience, through using a little bit of, my network, recruiters that I'd worked with in the past. LinkedIn was a great tool as well. I ventured out there and slowly but surely looked for these people and found them. So yeah, that was the toughest bit, I guess, of starting the business. And then, you asked about the coaching. That was tough in its own sense because I was part of a global business coaching franchise. And Action Coach, by the way, is one of the top franchises globally. not only in the coaching space. So became part of the, you know, bought into the franchise and became a franchise partner. But therein lied the challenge, right? I had to make sure that I made this model work for me. And I think that's what a lot of franchisees these days don't realize, is that, you know, you pay to be part of a franchise, but there's a good reason for that. That you don't have to reinvent the wheel. They've already created a recipe to success. So, you know, I had to make sure that I utilized that properly and build a successful coaching practice based on that. I can perhaps end off by saying that the other barrier perhaps was, you know, just the perception out there about business coaching. I think, you know, we hear these terms used interchangeably, mentoring, mentorship, coaching, training. And really, if you become technical about them, they are different things, right? I specifically wanted to coach, but I had to make a living from it, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to make money by doing it. And, you know, if you're going to be selling a product, your clients want to see the value. So if you're going to put yourself out there as a business coach helping people, you had to be darn sure that they were going to get the results, right? If you're going to be charging them, and if you're going to be charging them good money to pay for your services. So I think that in itself was a nice challenge as well when I started the coaching business.
So now you've given us some tools to use when for someone starting a business, someone who's going into coaching. But I'd like you mm-hmm. to take us back into when you started off as a clinical researcher, because that's where our students will relate more, because they will be starting off their career. So what would be something that, or one secret that you could tell a student who wants to go into the field of being a clinical researcher that they might not know of?
Great question. I think let me start off by saying that, as with a lot of industries, and I hear people say this a lot, your first challenge is going to be to find a job. And I think that's not only the case for clinical research space. You know, students get frustrated, you know, to some extent, rightfully so, that organizations want experience. But, you know, the flip side of that coin is, they don't want to give people the opportunity to get the experience, you know. So this might not be a very popular bit of advice, but I think students need to realize that they need to find ways to distinguish themselves. You know, the reality in South Africa, fortunately, unfortunately, is that if you have a degree, or even if you have a postgraduate degree, there's a lot of people who have degrees. There are a lot of people who can still do what you do, right? And who can offer, you know, value to a specific job role. If it happens to, you know, be in clinical research space, that's the same. The same is true. So find ways to distinguish yourself. You know, go out there, do extra courses, build relationships with people in the industry where you are looking to find jobs. And I think this is the most important one. Be patient, be realistic. You're not going to walk out of university and find a job in 1 or 2 or 3 months. And that's very true for clinical research. A lot of people want to obviously utilize their scientific knowledge and move into the commercial clinical research space. And that's wonderful. But organizations have to be profitable. You know, they can't appoint people if there's not more work. So, you know, it's going to depend on when organizations have jobs, and also more so when they are willing to give junior people an opportunity, because organizations do that, but they can't do it all the time, right? Our clients, mostly in the clinical research space, who sit overseas, they don't care who does the work, but they want the work done right. They want qualified people working on their projects. So, you know, we need to employ people that we know will be able to do the job. And unfortunately, it's easier if we get the experienced people on board, right? They get the job done quickly. We don't have to train them, and they can be billable most of the time, if I can oversimplify that. But in saying that, you know, stay determined, build the relationships, but you're going to have to go that extra mile if you want to get into clinical research. And yeah, you know, keep on applying for positions. And keep on distinguishing yourself, no matter how you do that.
Wow, thank you. That is actually very good advice. Now, my question for you is, you said that they must be patient, and then maybe they should find courses and some other aspects to make them grow. But what else could they do during the time of being patient? Are there other areas they can explore? Other jobs that you can recommend for students to go to while waiting to get there?
Yeah, again, great question. And I like where you're going with this. It's really as simple as, and I would recommend that, if you're struggling to find the ideal job, the job that you're looking for, be okay with settling for second or third best initially, right? I started out as a filing clerk, right? While I was still studying, I was happy to, in the clinical research space, get a job. We didn't get pay. I think I got a few hundred rand a month, but you know, was willing to get my hands dirty, was willing to do anything to just get in. If that's not possible, I'd suggest maybe go and have a look at finding jobs that will help you develop the skill sets that you can utilize later on in your ideal job. So for example, people frown upon it's frowned upon to maybe go be a waiter. Maybe not. But people underestimate what you learn when you become a waiter, right?
That's true.
You learn to work with people. You learn to sell. You learn to upsell. So don't underestimate what you can learn from other jobs while you're waiting for or working towards, and I almost don't want to use the term waiting for. And I think your question sort of leans towards that as well, right? Mm. You shouldn't sit back and wait. And that's basically what you're implying. And that's correct. Go and look for a job that will help you develop any skills that you might need in the future, no matter what it is. And yes, unfortunately, you're going to have to be willing to, get your hands dirty in the beginning, start at the bottom, work your way up. And again, keep the perspective. When I say patient, I mean, we expect maybe things to happen after a year. It might take longer. It took me 6 months to find my first job in clinical research after I'd finished my studies. Then it took another 2 or 3 years just to learn the basics. For a young person, 3 years is a long time. And that's what I mean with, be patient and just keep the perspective. Your career typically will be 40, 45 years, maybe more. So look at it from that perspective. To compromise or sacrifice the first 3 or 4 or 5 years to learn the right things and just do the hard work is a small price to pay if you're going to ensure that that you're successful in 15, 20 years in.
Hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. As you're talking, I was thinking as well, when you find the jobs, pinpoint the skills that you need and find other jobs that can give you the same skills while you're waiting.
Exactly.
While you are being patient, not waiting, while you're being patient for the goal ahead. Well, thank you so much, DJ. That was my last question, actually, but I do have a game to play with you. This is called the fire round. Okay. I'm going to ask you speed questions. So I'm going to give you 2 seconds to answer these questions. You can't take more than that. All right.
All right.
Are you ready for our fire questions?
Fire away.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Remote or on-site?
Remote.
Every morning I?
Read my Bible.
My favorite word is?
Determination.
Determination. Thank you so much, Diedrich. That is the end of our interview. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I know our students need to hear this conversation. It's very important.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and thank you for what you do for the students. Thanks for this platform. Thanks for getting this message out to the students. Hopefully we can do this again. And this is a topic that we probably should be spending a lot more time on, but this is wonderful. Thanks once again for the opportunity.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.